humbled to be here and to know that the Lord loves us and we are His delight. And whatever we do is because He loves us and we love Him. Last week we were in a church in Albania. The week before we were in a church in Greece. And the week before that, we were in the church in North Macedonia. And wherever you are home. Because, you know, wherever the Lord is and His people are, then you are in His presence, your home. So we want to thank you for your prayers. I was here in January, and when I went back home, I told my wife, I feel like I'm a different person because of the way Rock loved me. And you guys know, you know so well how to love. And so we are grateful for your love, your welcome, your generosity, and we thank you. And what Pastor John emphasized today, the nations and the young people, it's really the theme of our lives, you know, also. Although we live in a small place, in a remote place out there, it's all about the glory of God being manifested in the nations, and especially the young generation. And so since I returned to North Macedonia, we have had over 60 people, most of those people, young people, that came to pray with us, worship with us, go out to the streets, meet people, engage people with the gospel, share Jesus with others. And it's like so wonderful to see how God is working. We've had so many opportunities to share Jesus with, especially with Muslims. Our focus where we are the unreached Muslims. We live in a country where 30% of the population are Muslim. And there is not a single church among them. And after 30 years of work among the Muslims there, we haven't seen yet one church established among that indigenous people group. But, you know, God has a sense of humor. And every time we show up in a community, we bring young people and we tell them, listen, we're going to this community. There are no believers in this community, no missionaries, no churches. And so we're going there just to bring the presence of Jesus just by walking in the city, you know, and by praying. And so we carry His presence. And for today, what we're going to do is just exalt the name of Jesus Christ in the middle of this community. And we tell young people, you know, we're not going to go out to evangelize because we want to plow the land. We want to begin by exalting the name of Jesus. Every single time we go, God gives us another opportunity to meet another person. So especially the last 6 months, we've had so many opportunities in our region to meet people. And we are so shocked by the openness that we are finding. And, you know, we raise the name of Jesus, He does the work. And so we had the joy of leading a man, an Albanian man, who's a Muslim, leading him to Christ in April, right, Sonia? And it was so beautiful to see. We just bumped into him. You know, he's like, what about you? What do you do here? And we're like, oh, we are Christians. We love Jesus. And so anyways, we entered a conversation with this man, and you know, he gave his life to Jesus. God led us to lead another man to Christ. He's North Macedonian. When I was in Greece 2 weeks ago, I led a man there to Christ. And so God is giving us these opportunities to really engage people with the gospel. And our prayer is that God will open up more opportunities, more doors for us to share the gospel with more people, but also that God would bring in workers that can bring in the harvest. We were in a prayer meeting recently as a family with a friend of ours, and we asked our son John, we said, John, what about you? What is your prayer request? And he said, Dad, we need to pray for the young generation. Pastor John shared, he's only 9. And when he said that, my heart kind of just, that word pierced through my heart. He said, Dad, we need to pray for the next generation. And I'm like, how does he know? You know, how does he know what that means? You know, and he said, we need to pray that God brings them and that they come to bring in the harvest. And I'm like, wow, John, your prayer request, like, to the point. And so we feel like we've been there 2 years, and our mandate, the mandate God has given us, is to prepare the way, you know, for a mission movement, for an apostolic movement of God to take place, for people to come and take the harvest. Because, you know, many times we see certain areas in the world that are so hard to the gospel, so closed, so tough, and we feel intimidated. We pray, but it's hard to go because people don't respond to the gospel. You know, and we create this prejudice. We have this fear. But then God says, will you go? Will you go with me? Because I want to establish my presence there. And we go, and guess what? We find people one after another, after another, after another, who are not just open, but they're hungry for the gospel. And I can't go into more details to share stories, but the point is, we've been there 2 years, and it's 2 years just like has flown by so quickly. And we sense an urge, you know, to keep praying, and we're going to see a shift. We're going to see, you know, that curse. Oh, it's a, you know, have you heard that saying? It's a graveyard of missionaries. You know, this place is a graveyard. That place is a graveyard. And we want to see a break of the curse, and we want to contend for what the Spirit of God is doing, to bring people into the kingdom of God, and to see, you know, people go out in faith, you know, but also sacrifice in obedience to bring in bring in the harvest. And so this is what's going on. We engage people, as I said, by praying. We engage people by worshiping. But we also engage people by going, you know, by sharing the gospel with Muslims. And so, yeah, I want to thank you in particular for praying for John. He has had a very rough time there. He's the only Christian in school. And he was really being persecuted as a Christian young boy. And he was really, really sensing the persecution, the rejection from everybody, you know, in the community. And up to January, he was having constant headaches, which it's not related to any diagnosis he has. But in January, we had a team that came of intercessors. And the team actually didn't know what was going on with John. But one of the intercessors said, what about this witch lady that is throwing curses against you and against your son? And so this team of intercessors, they prayed for John in particular, because they really sensed and, you know, discerned. And from that point on, you know, we see a big, massive shift. The headaches, like for a whole month, he wasn't having headaches. And I know you guys have prayed for him, and we've received some gifts and personal handwritten letters and books, you know, from you guys. So I really want to thank you for your prayers for John. Sometimes we see kids in ministry like, you know, they're like, you know, the afterthought. But actually they are the central piece of God's mission, because God is using, you know, our kids to attract people to the gospel. And so, in fact, when we led the Muslim man to Christ, John was sitting next to me, and this man was in the middle, and John and I are praying, you know. And so keep praying for us. I thank you. Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you, everybody. We love you guys. We love you.
Just take a few minutes to pray
for them. If you would just come up to the front, Sony and Nicole and David, John's in the other place. Your hands. So, Father, we thank you that you call a family to bless the families of the world. And the greatest blessing is you. It's your presence. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. For every fallen human person, Jesus rescues. Jesus saves. Jesus forgives. And through Jesus, every human person enters into the Father's heart, and each person becomes a son or a daughter, forever engrafted into an eternal family. And so, Lord, as the Begus are faithful to you, as they are in the middle of darkness, persecution, misunderstanding, accusation, discouragement, curses, setbacks, you are still there. And so, Father, we ask that in your Son's name, when they head back, they will see reversals, one after the other, through prayer, through perseverance, through prophetic insight, through the help of intercessors, that what took 5 years would take 5 days. Amen. So, Father, more than anything, we ask for an intensification of your presence. Your presence that would begin to melt the hearts of people, that would remove the blinders from their eyes, open up their ears, and open up their souls to hunger after you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, anoint each person of this amazing family. Even for David, as he's here in Wilmington, bless him in all that he does. Guide his steps, guide his thinking, bless him in Jesus' name. And as Nicole goes back with her family, Lord, may you continue to fill her with impeccable, amazing graces. And for Simone, who's working out, building muscle, you are also building up his spiritual muscles, Lord, as he's focused. He's so focused. So train him up as a mighty warrior. And for John, he's like the Apostle John, and so we just pray for the tender-hearted one, the beloved young boy already hearing your voice and moving with wisdom. And just like the Apostle John, may he be your best friend, Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for this family. Thank you for Genny. Thank you for Sony. Thank you, Lord, for how they are knit together as one in you. And may you attract people, Lord, through the joy of the family, the joy of a marriage. May they see what's really there, and that is the light of your presence. So we bless them as a church, as friends, in Jesus' mighty name today. Amen. 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 I'm just going to share a dream I had last night, and I was on a mountaintop, and I was carrying Amos. Amos doesn't appear in my dream, and so as I pray through it, it's just an encouragement for every person to soak the young ones in prayer. So in this dream, I have Amos. We were going through some rough patches, and I was sliding, and I wanted to make sure he doesn't fall. He's just a baby, right? So as I'm sliding, I see Diana there. I go, here. I go, oh, this is unusual. And so how we love our young people, little ones, is really important. I'm not introducing any fear, of the enemy, but just keep soaking the young people, even if they're not your own kids, just the little ones and youth. Just soak them if you can every day. Okay, just a few minutes, just soak them. Think about them and say, Lord, protect them. Fill them. May they continue to be connected with you. Okay, so just very vivid dream last night. I'd like to introduce John. I've said a few things. He's a general. Napoleon was short. A lot of great men in history were short, They had a little complex, But John is only short in stature, but as Jews would say, he's a mensch. He's a man, he's a leader. No fear. I don't want to tell too many stories, but no fear. Everything is fun, even demons, and I'm like, So if he did a CAT scan on John, it was like, and you look for fear, it's like zero. And so he's fearless, and he's clear. He by training, he's an engineer, but that ability to discern black and white, right and wrong, and then he's a man of conviction and courage. Doesn't matter if everyone's going one way, if he thinks this is God's word, that's enough. And so he's tremendous. So John, come on up. And Kristen's here too. So if, Kristen, if you would stand up and come up. We don't have this opportunity every day. And so Kristen's gifting is complimentary, meaning John sometimes doesn't get people, she gets people. Okay. Compassionate, caring. I got to be careful. I don't want to make it sound like John's got weaknesses, but he's a guy. He's a guy. I've seen them run DTS, and so like Christian's like, John, but don't you think that person needs this? And
I say no.
No. She's the compassionate one. Okay, she's the mother. She's a spiritual mother, real compassionate. Everyone gets a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, et cetera, just, so. Lord, we bless John and Kristen. We just bless their lives in you. We just bless how they carry your love, not just to the 500, but it could be five. It could just be one. Doesn't matter if they're graduates of the top school in Korea or the U.S., or barely finished high school. It doesn't matter who comes into their orbit. They know how to love and pour out. And so we want to, right now, just pour out in prayer for them. Bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Everything they need be released in Jesus' name. Everything. From the physical to the financial, the relational, emotional, spiritual, whatever is lacking, Father, we say you fill their need. And during this time, Lord, we ask that you would speak. You would speak your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. I think this is going to be...
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you so much. And I'm gonna get set up a little bit here. Is on? Yeah. Testing, testing. Can you hear me? Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen to that. Yeah, you can't be taller than me. You gotta humble yourself. Amen. Good to be here. It's been 5 years. The COVID since 2020. We haven't been out of Korea, and so this is the first time in connection with my dad and my mom's 96th and 90th birthday, and they are healthy. My dad's still driving. My mom still scolds me once in a while. That's how I know she's alive and kicking. Hallelujah! When your parents and even that they're old and you are like grandparents yourself. We are grandparents ourselves, but when your parents are still. Once in a while, says things that kind of reprimand you, that's a good news. That means they are alive and well. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that. As we were worshiping today, by the way, Nicole, that's just the sweet presence of God. Very powerful, very deep, very genuine. The sense, immediately, I had a sense from the Lord, this church is in love with God. This church is in love with God. Wow, even in our church, we love God, but I don't get that. But immediately as we were, I think it was a second song, it just came to me. You are worshiping because you are not loving God, you are in love with God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Today, as I have been given the time to speak, I'm gonna make our time, the message time, very short, so that we can spend the rest of the time praying for you and having some fun ourselves as well. So hello, hello, and this is greetings from Seoul, GSMC, to the Rock Church in Rockville. Maryland. This is our current group. There were a few members who couldn't come that day, and so they aren't here, but basically that's our group. And out of that, guess how many staff we have? We have 4 staff, so it's mostly staff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we right now worship mobile and all throughout Seoul around Gangnam area. And so we usually rent on an hourly basis, about 4 hours every Sunday, at a coffee shop. We like coffee shops. The churches, we could look for churches like this to come and rent us a space for us to have service. But having held our services, Sunday services, at coffee shop for a few months, we decided, no, we want to stick to coffee shops. And so that's what we've been doing. And so every Sunday, oops, here we go. What is going on here? Is it me? Is it me? All right, here we go. And so every Sunday, I thank God I have a big old car with a lot of cargo space. And so I have speakers and all that stuff. And we load and unload. And our church members, mostly our staff, have learned to unpack everything and set everything up within 25 minutes. Hallelujah. And they pack everything down less than that in about 15, 20 minutes. And we love it. We decided when we decided to move out of our normal place that we have been renting for about 6-7 years, because the building owner raised the price up another $500 a month, we decided, okay, this is time to move out. So we moved out, and we decided, you know what, let's take this time, opportunity, to hold our Sunday services at locations around Seoul where there is, you know, least likelihood of a church there, God's presence there. And so we have intentionally chosen coffee shops and not going to church buildings, even though we could. And so that's what we've been doing. And I plan on doing this until the Lord tells us otherwise. But it's been good. It's been very, very good. Today's message is this: living victoriously, protecting and blessing life. And I put this in Korean in case that there are some of you who can read Korean well, because, you know, sometimes, you know, expression in one language is more clear in another language. And so for those Korean speakers, I decided to put it in Korean as well, because I think it's more clear in Korean as well. But living victoriously, we want to live victoriously in all seasons of life, in all circumstances. And Christians, our goal is to protect and bless life. And many, many non-Christians and even Christians alike, they have a wrong idea about Christianity. They think that Christian faith is a killjoy. They think that being a Christian is like robbing you of freedom, that it's oppressive, and so on, that it's, you know, cringing on their freedom and their joy and their happiness. The opposite is true. The reason why Christians insist on biblical values and standards of life is because that is how life is protected and blessed.
Amen.
That's the reason why. We are the life givers. We actually want life to prosper more than the world. And yet they don't understand this. And guess what? Satan has done all it could to twist people's minds. And so people are deceived. Just like in Genesis chapter 3 at the garden, the enemy said, did God really say? Did God really say? Yes, he did. Well, that's not really true. God has an ulterior motive. He wasn't very truthful with you. He is a freak, you know, control freak. He wants to suppress you and keep you under him always. He wants to enslave you. He wants to make sure you live in ignorance and only under his control. These are all lies. These are all lies. And so we try to, in Korea, try to help young people to learn about God well, to walk with God well, to experience God well, and how to navigate their seasons of life. And because we are focusing upon the MZ generation from 20 to mid-40s and so on, you know, what they're mostly interested in and their challenge of life is founding spouse and getting married, you know, marriage. And also their career development. Those are the two major things which we love to counsel them about. And so we have been doing that. And right now in Korea, it's a season, I believe, of not focusing on the number of people, you know, number of salvations, but rather because, like, you know, Pastor Genny just said, that same thing with Korea, people no longer are interested in Christianity, not because they were hurt by some pastor or some church like it used to be before. Nowadays, the survey shows that most of the young people don't go to church and don't believe in God because they are atheists. Atheists. And so the once thriving campus ministries in Korea are now all gone. They were gone when we went there, went to Korea 7 years ago. And so we couldn't believe it. And so we actually visited some universities and we realized this is true. And so we went to Korea back in 2016, October, with a plan of starting an international missions training center, a YM center, there in Seoul. And so we went with the luggage with the intention of starting that. And then I began to realize that we'll go bankrupt.
the mission center will go bankrupt because young people are no longer coming to Chukwoni churches. They have been making massive exodus, and they're no longer coming. And so where will we get the young people from for the missions training? And so I decided, you know what, we need to start a church. And so that's what we did. And the missions training, we decided to do it within the church. And so during the pandemic, since 2020, we could no longer meet as a church. It was a government mandate for churches weren't allowed to meet together. We couldn't even sing. We had to put masks on, and the pastors had to put masks on while we were preaching and so on. We had to keep a social distance and all that. And so that's when we decided to go online and did that. But ever since then, 2020, even though now, starting from last year, the government has now said, okay, you can now meet, and we are free to meet. People have gotten used to the pandemic season of lifestyle. They like their freedom. And so many people have not come to church at all. And so even the big churches in Korea, they don't have young people anymore. They don't have Sunday schools because there are no children. It's only older people. And the ones... thriving churches with big parking lots. When you go there on Sundays, you only see few cars parked there because it's only the elderly folks who have kept their faith who are still going to church, no longer the young people. It's non-existent. And so this is what's happening. But you know what? In all seasons of life, God is always at work. In times of challenges, God wants us to get stronger and closer to Him and get ready, prepare ourselves for the next season of harvest. And so that's the season right now. This is not the time in Korea right now to expand. It's the time right now to hunker down and to get those few, wherever they are, and encourage them back to life again and strengthen them and disciple them. And so we are, since the pandemic, we were only able to meet once a week on Sunday. Before the pandemic, we had all kinds of meetings during the weekdays, you know, Bible studies and prayer meetings and all that stuff. Since the pandemic, since 2020, we could only meet once a week. And so guess what? We decided to meet for 3 hours with a 15-minute break in between. That's a bathroom break, right? And so that's what we did. And many young people through the website and through people's recommendations have come, visited our church because for various reasons, but mostly to learn English because our church is bilingual. Everything is bilingual online and everything is bilingual with a translation side by side. And so young people wanted to learn, you know, get free English lessons. And so they would come and visit us. And also the way that our church is set up, it's set up like a little coffee shop with little tables and so on. And we can drink coffee while we are, you know, having service and so on. And so it's a relaxed atmosphere, but we are serious about God. And as we did that, a lot of people have come and visited. But the ones who weren't really serious about God, they said, oh, it's too long, and they left. The ones who were serious, they said, I feel God's presence, and they stayed. And so out of that, let me show you who now remains, and that's what you saw. That's who we have right now. And so besides that, what do I do? What do I do? Well, I look for the ones and twos who are hungry. And so during the weekdays, I go once a week to Incheon, which is about an hour drive. And there are two, my former DTS students, and they have started a little cleaning company of their own. And so they said, John, would you come and pastor us because we really need you. And so I go there once a week and pastor them and mentor them and so on. And then once a week as well, I get together with around three or four of the young people in their early 30s, and most of them are seminary students, and they wanna learn English because they want to one day be able to do ministry with English speakers, and so I'm thinking, why would you want to do that? And I think it's because they don't they don't want to spend the rest of their life just serving among the Korean people because of the high cultural expectations and overwork and so on. And so they think that, you know, working with foreigners, especially English speakers, is like really cool, you know. And so they began to come together. And so I meet with them once a week, you know, and every time I meet, about 2 hours, I teach them conversational English. And their English is not good at all. And so I don't know how long, 10 years, I don't know. You know, I've been meeting with them for about a year or so, and I can see their English is improving. And so they're very happy because it's free lesson. I'm more or less a native speaker. It's free. Native speaker, free, wow, free. And so they say, yeah, you know. And so they love it. And then we happen to have also a missionary couple who's coming to our church with two youth kids. And these two youth kids will be going to Malaysia with their parents in August. And until then, they're with us at our church. And these two youth kids, when they go to Malaysia, they have to go to international school, and international school is English speaking. And so I met with them, and their English is so poor. I'm thinking, like, you are in high school. You will never make it in high school. No way, not even elementary school. How can you even? But they're very hopeful. They're like, we can do it. Yeah, I applaud you for your confidence, but your ability is like, no. and so I, you know, with a few months we have, I do the best I can to encourage them and, again, teach them English and so on. They're good kids, good youth kids. So that's what I do. Here and there, wherever there are twos and threes and fours who are looking for something that has to do with God, I am there. I drive an hour every day, 2 hours back and forth, at my own expense to do that. That's the season that Korea is in right now. But you know what? I've learned through this coronavirus season that in all seasons of life, in all situations, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, when people are coming to church gladly, when people are getting away from the church in droves, doesn't matter, that God is always doing some fruitful work. And so it is that we must focus on. Amen. In each season. And so I am in a better place. You know, many people ask me, John, with such a small church, aren't you discouraged? Yeah, I was at first, but I got over that. I'm not discouraged at all. In fact, I'm in a better place than ever before. And so today's message is living victoriously, protecting and blessing life, because that's what Christian life is all about. And I want to share with you a couple of things that I think will encourage you and keep you, focusing forward to move forward in all seasons of life. As we get started today, it's 3:07. What time should I end, by the way? 3:30? Is that good?
Yeah.
3:30? Okay, 3:30. Here we go. Because I, you know, otherwise, yeah, I'd be too tired to pray. We'll watch this for about... Sound, please. To transition. But as we look at the nature, remember that this is God-given world to us. And we are living in a God-given life. That's what we're doing. Thank you.
every generation, in every nation, in all circumstances of life. If we live soberly, humbly, and faithfully before God, following God, then we will be victorious in the world and be saved to live eternally with God and all saints in all blessedness and wonder in new heaven and new earth. This is the gospel. This is our hope. This is why we worship God and live for God. Here is a quick summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which you well know, but we need to be reminded over and over again, the very foundation. Man was created, as you know, by God in his image as holy, happy, full of life being. Man was given the authority and responsibility to govern the earth and all life in it as God's priestly representative. Until one day, through Satan's lie and deception, wickedness was found in man. Also, through disobedience to God and desire to become like God. Consequently, man became cursed and all life with it. Therefore, whatever man touched and built, it became cursed as well. All relationships, all work, all institutions, all city and society that man touched and built became cursed. As a result, the world which man built and lived in, number one, opposed God more and more. Number two, exalted man more and more as God. But when God's appointed time came, when God's appointed time came, and it will come, it'll come again and again and again. Because this is his world which God gave, his creation, his man, his representative, man to govern and to live happily after, which we had failed. When that God's appointed time came, the Father sent his only begotten Son, that name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin young girl named Mary, to save and restore man to God in his image once again. So that the forgiven and recreated man can once again live holy, happy, and full of life under God's benevolent and protective care. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christians are men and women who are once again learning to live God's way, however imperfectly, while fighting off Satan's attacks. Our hope is that one day we will enter our promised land, the new heaven and new earth, to live with God and all saints in unimaginable peace, joy, blessedness, and wonder forever. Knowing this, who would not want to be saved from the curse? And who would not want to be born again in true human nature, the way we were created to be? And who would not want to live under God's way? And who would not want to enter into the promised land, the new heaven and new earth, and live forever with God and all saints in unimaginable peace, joy, blessedness, and wonder? Unfortunately, many don't. So the Bible calls this spiritual ignorance, blindness, foolishness, rebellion, lawlessness, corruption, sin, evil, and death. And many live in such a state. So our heart
aches for them and we pray for them. But you know better, because by God's grace, your eyes and my eyes have been opened and you have kept it open. And so you are living a life of victory, however imperfectly, as best as we each can. And even though we often find our Christian life to be very lonely, challenging, painful, and baffling, you would never give it up, because you know that this treasure you now have is incomparably greater than any treasure this world has to offer. Besides, once you've tasted the goodness of the Lord, nothing else in this world satisfies. Since we have now come to know our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Redeemer, He is now everything to us. So now, no matter what we face in life, we trust, hope, and stand in Him. We must. No matter what we face in life and how the world changes, we must each, number one, keep our own faith. Number two, live by His word and leading. Number three, be sure to enter into our eternal promised land of new heaven and new earth. Then, no matter what we lose or suffer or even gain on earth, we will be victorious. So today, I want to give you a list of exhortations to live by. I have 13 of them. We'll go quickly. So that no matter what we face in life and how the world changes, we can stand in our new life of faith until the end and win. Number one, trust and delight in God. It's not enough to trust and obey God. We must delight in God. We must be in love with God. Only when we are in love with God, nothing else will satisfy, and we will not compromise. Many Christians are not in love with God enough, but you are in love with God. And that's why you have withstood the test of all kinds of trials and temptations, because you are in love with God. Trust and delight in God. Make God your fortress and joy, and you'll be secure and happy. Number two exhortation, learn from the past, but don't dwell on the past. Many Christians dwell on the past. I have seen and met in Korea Christians who have sacrificed a lot for God, who have gone to all kinds of mission fields for God, who have given up all kinds of earthly things for God, who are anointed and called of God, and yet they are full of bitterness in life because God did not return back the favor that they have so given to God. And I've seen many Christians this way. We must learn from the past, but don't dwell on the past. Learn to forgive and forget. Move on and live in the present with a hope of a better future. We can do that. Number three, strive to become the best version of yourself and live the best life you can. We cannot change others, but we can do something about ourselves. We cannot tell people how to live their lives, but we can live our lives in a certain way. It's our choice. We are only responsible for our own life. So strive to become the best version of yourself and live the best life you can. Don't dwell on the past. Don't blame. Don't make excuses. Don't compare. The past is gone, but you can live the present and shape the future. Number four, be humble and thankful always. Be humble and thankful always. It is only those who know God and their place that we can be truly humble before God and be humble before others. Be humble and thankful always. Don't be a complainer like the people of Israel did. And don't be a grumpy person. No one likes a grumpy person. You can't make friends. Right? If you're grumpy, no one will like you. Don't blame them. Blame yourself. If you're a happy person, they will want to be your friend. If you're grumpy, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. You can get people's sympathies for a while, but it just goes so far. So don't be a complainer. Don't be a grumpy person. Be a happy person. And you'll make lots of friends. Number five, pray often and in all circumstances. How do you stay close to God? Think about God often throughout the day. That's how you get close to God. How do you live with God's presence with you all the time? Think about God often throughout the day. That's what I do. Think about God throughout the day. Pray often. Think about God often in all circumstances. God hears us and helps us. We are now his children and he cares for us. We have never seen parents who do not hear the cries of their own children. If there are such parents, we call them broken parents, right? But normal, healthy, functioning parents hear the cry of their kids before anybody else. God is our perfect parent. He always hears our prayers. He always sees our needs. Even before we know them, he knows them. He provides for them like a perfect parent. So pray often and in all circumstances. Number six, read and study. Oops, here we go. We've gone. Here we go. Number six, read and study, meditate and live out God's word. God's word, the Bible is not something for us to keep in the nice bookshelf, protected. But it is to be carried with us day and night, night and day. It's to be carried with us side by side. The word of God is to be our best friend. That's how the word of God was meant to be used. Our best friend is to be carried with us. Read and study, meditate and live out God's word. Learn to live not by bread alone, but by God's word. Learn to live not just by what we see, our calculations, our income levels, our situations, our job situations or jobless situations. Learn to live not by the physical things that we have or don't have, but by God's word alone. This is the difference between God's people and worldly people. We have many Christians who are worldly. Many Christians who live worldly. They pray. They do all the Christian stuff. But when it comes to their life on earth, they are worldly. They rely on worldly means. That is not a Christian at all. You cannot expect to live like a Christian if you live like that. That's why God says, yes, the bread is important, but you know what? I'm the provider of bread. I'm the provider. That's why you have to live by my word. In fact, my word is more important for your life than your physical provisions that you have before you. This is how we are to develop a spiritual strength to withstand life storms. Never give up. Make the enemy give up first. When you fall, get up quickly. Don't stay down. Longer you stay down, harder it is to get up. God will help you, and God never gives up on you. Never give up. When I immigrated to USA, I was 11 years old. It was back in 1970. Don't try to calculate my age. Yes, it's old, but it's after dinosaur. never give up. When I was 11 years old, Korea was wasn't even on the radar. People did not know where Korea was. Now everyone knows Korea, but back then it was the opposite. They said they only knew China and Japan. Korea, where is Korea? Do you speak Chinese or Korean? Chinese or Japanese? Korean, is that a Chinese or Japanese? No, Korean. is that a part of China or Japan? No, Korea is a separate country. It is? Where? I never heard of it. And so Korea no one was interested. Absolutely of no significance, no value. Look what happened to Korea in just within my lifetime. It's incredible. You never know how your life may end up. You may be a nobody now, but someday the person anyone who does not know you may be considered a spy because you're so famous. You never know. So don't despise small beginnings. Here we go. Never give up. And so when I went to school, because my father wanted us to learn English, he wanted to always move us to a place, a town, where there were no Asians and especially no Koreans whatsoever. And so it wasn't until college when I met other Koreans and I said, oh my goodness, there are people who look like me, who even speak the same language. Oh my goodness, I found myself in college. But back then, because Korea was like a loser country, no one wanted to, it was not important at all. Learn Korean? Why learn Korean? Korea is a loser country. One of the poorest countries in the world at the time. And so very different from now. And so we moved to locations where there were no Koreans whatsoever. And so wherever we moved, this is from the 11 years old when I was in fifth grade, all the way up to high school before I went to college. Every school that I went to, and we moved every 2-3 years because of my father's job, there were no Asians and no Koreans whatsoever. And so you know how the kids are. You know, kids from every nation, you know, somebody new comes, especially somebody who looks different than you. They've never seen an Asian in their life, and so Asian comes, a short kid comes. By the way, I'm the same height as I was before. I'm very consistent, very stable person in terms of even the height. Very stable, never changes. And so... And so every school that I went to, there was always a school bully, and they would pick a fight on me. And so I would have to fight because they would fight me. And so I fought several times until I went to college because they picked on me and they forced the fight on me. And every time, I was afraid on the inside. And Pastor John Lee says that I'm never afraid. No, it's just that I'm good at not showing it. Am I afraid? Absolutely, I'm afraid. What are you talking about? Of course, I know what fear is. And I know what my... And so every time I would be forced into fight, I would fight. Thankfully, I had learned a little bit of taekwondo before I immigrated. Not a black belt, a blue belt at that time. Now you call it green belt, but a blue belt. And so I did everything that I knew how to do, you know, kick, punch, you know, whatever it is, I did it. And the other guy got also hit as well. And so every time that I would fight, they would think that I won. Why? Because even though I was afraid, right, no one was on my side. Even though I felt very alone, even though I knew I would lose, I never gave up. And you know what I did also? I would hit them on the face. Where it's most visible. Where it's most visible. They would hit me on the body where no one can see. That's why everybody thought that I won. No, actually I lost. I know I lost. I know I have the marks on my body. Not like Paul, but like, you know, different kind of marks. Actual bruises. But everybody who saw me would think that I won, or at least I'm the equal. That this was an even match because I would never give up. The Bible says this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Humble yourself, and God will lift you up. Never give up. Do the enemy the maximum damage. Don't sulk. Praise God. Maximum damage. Tell people, not your sorry story. Tell people of the faith you have in God. Do the enemy the maximum visible damage. Never give up, and you win. The Bible guarantees it. Never give up, and you win. So never give up. Make the enemy give up first. Either you give up or the enemy give up. And thankfully, the Bible already says in James that resist the devil and the enemy will give up. So you never give up. The enemy will give up. And when you fall, get up quickly. Don't stay down, because the longer you stay down, harder it is to get up. That's how I learned to ride my first bicycle. Again, I was 11 years old. Never rode a bicycle in my whole life. Korea was a poor country. Bicycle? No way. Where's a bicycle? What's a bicycle? My goodness. Never seen a bicycle in my life. And that's how poor Korea was. And so, come to USA, age 11, my first year, my dad buys me a bike. It was a high-rise, you know, bike handle. I remember that. And of course, I would fall, right? And I would hurt my knee. And my dad would be behind me and says, no, get up quickly. And I thought he was the most cruel dad in my whole world. I mean, my dad was the most gentle person that I knew growing up. And yet, when it came to riding a bicycle and I fell, he would not have sympathy on me. He would not say, oh, let me bandage you up. Oh, you got hurt. I'm sorry. No, he said, get up. Get up. Have some sympathy. I'm bleeding here. No, get up. That's what he did, and that's how I learned how to ride a bicycle. You see, when you fall, get up. Get up. Don't go around crying to people and say, I'm sorry, I've been hurt. And don't say to the person, oh, I'm sorry too. No, you are not. It's not you who got hurt. It's the other person. You're just saying that, aren't you? Tell the person, yeah, I know it may hurt, but get up. Get up. Don't buy into, oh, I'm sorry. You see, one of the things that's wrong and more corrupt with both the young people, both the culture in Korea and also in USA, is that people on the outside seem to be very loving and sympathetic and caring, but actually that weakens you. That weakens you. When you fall, you get up. That's how you overcome your pain, and that's how you get healed faster. God will also help you, because God never gives up on you. Be faithful and diligent in all your work, and learn to enjoy work and find fulfillment in work well done. Many people are into these days, I want to know what God's calling is for my life. Well, that's good, but that's a luxury. Because that doesn't happen to everybody. Your parents have to have so much money that you can mess up all kinds of things that they can still support you. Then maybe you can say, you know what, Mom, Dad, I just quite haven't found out what I want to do with my life. I think I want to be a pilot. Can I try that? I think I'd be good at that. You do that for a while. He says, oh, it's too hard. No. I think I want to be a chef. Yeah, I like food, so let me just mix a chef. You do that, it's hard. I think I want to do this, do that. Now, if your parents are so loaded, they have money to burn, yeah, go ahead and do it. But at some time in your life, you have to choose. You have to choose. This is reality. Be faithful and diligent in all your work, and learn to enjoy work, and find the work that you like. But if you can't, learn to do the work that you may not like, but find fulfillment in doing that work well, a job well done, and so you feel fulfilled. Don't be lazy, and don't despise small beginnings. Number 9, plan, but don't overplan. How many of you are planners here? Yeah, that's good. How many of you are, you hate to plan? You want to live by the moment. Okay, well, here we go, okay. Plan, but don't overplan, learn to live an open hand. That means that you plan, but then whenever situations change, you leave it up to God. You don't sulk. You don't blame God. You don't say to God, why? By the way, how many of you have ever done something, expecting something, and then you even thought that this was God's will, only to turn out that things didn't turn out well, and you begin to be confused, and you begin to blame yourself, blame God, blame that guy, you know, who gave you the wrong order at Starbucks? You know, I mean, you know, why me? You know, where did that get you? Waste of time, waste of energy with no answers, right? Learn to live with an open hand. When things change, you say, oh, well, God, I guess I was wrong, or maybe I need to wait. In any case, it didn't turn out the way that I did. So what? God's in control. God's in control. Right? Many people want to know what God's will is before they take a first step. Well, you can never live by faith that way, because if I knew what I'm supposed to do and I was guaranteed that and I knew that this would end up with a good, successful result, that's living by evidence and not by faith, not by trusting God. Living by faith means that God knows exactly what you should do to succeed, and yet he does not tell you yet. It's not that God doesn't have a plan. He has a plan. He knows how it will turn out, but only he knows, and he wants to just trust him at his word. That's faith. And so we must live by that open hand. That's living by faith. So if you are a planner, learn to be spontaneous a little and enjoy. If you are spontaneous, learn to plan a little and enjoy. You'll be a lot happier and less stressed if you learn to live with an open hand. By the way, I'm a planner, but over the years of the missionary work and so on, I've learned and experienced so many times that things didn't work out the way that I planned, even carefully planned, even deserved to succeed my way, and yet it didn't. And so having learned that many, many times over and over again, you begin to learn and catch on. Maybe this is not how we are supposed to live as Christians. There are some things, many things in fact, many, many things, maybe most things, that we should plan, but it doesn't quite go the way that we expect. And in those times, we are to live still with faith, not try to figure out what went wrong, not try to figure out, is it my fault, his fault, their fault, God's fault, what is it? But rather just accept things the way it is and just move on. That's living with an open hand. So plan, but do not overplan. Learn to live with an open hand always. Number 10, learn to make lemonade out of life lemons, because life is unpredictable. Forrest Gump was right. Life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you will get. That's true. Then you will live a fruitful life in season and out of season. That is at all times. If you learn to make lemonade out of life's lemons, when life deals you something bitter, something unpleasant, something unexpected, even a failure in your eyes, learn to find something good out of it and make useful out of it. And that's why James chapter 1 says, rejoice, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of every kind. Oh my goodness, how can trials be a good news? It is not. But since you cannot avoid trials at this moment, James says to the Christians, learn to make lemonade out of it, something useful out of it. That is, through these unpleasant, difficult situations of life, learn to strengthen your faith and grow in your maturity. That's what James is talking about. It's not saying, James chapter 1 is not saying, yeah, look for trouble, because that's blessing. No, of course not. Of course not. We don't look for troubles. We don't look for temptations and difficulties. We avoid them. A normal person would avoid them. A smart Christian, wise Christian, would avoid them. We have to avoid those things. But when it's unavoidable for different situations, my fault, your fault, who's ever fault, doesn't matter. We make lemonade out of it, something useful out of it. That's what James chapter 1 is saying. Number 11, cultivate and enjoy healthy, life-giving relationships. I'm 10 minutes over, but I'm finished very quickly. Cultivate and enjoy healthy, life-giving relationships, but manage and cut off toxic relationships. In heaven, thank God, there will only be life-giving relationships and no toxic relationships. Hallelujah. You know why? Because in heaven, you and I will all have been gloriously changed. Because we have been changed, there are no toxic relationships. Yeah. It's not because only good people go there. No. It's because no matter how messed up we are on earth, we try to live as best as we can. When we fall, we repent. A million times we repent. And every time it's genuine. Then we make it to heaven. And those people who make it to heaven will be gloriously changed. Who are you? I've never seen you like this on earth, because on earth I was one way. Well, neither were you. I remember you on earth. You were never like this. Well, I've been changed. Hallelujah. That's why in heaven, everybody who makes it to heaven will have a kumbaya, wonderful relationship, because we will all have been changed. You and I, if you want a good relationship, we got to change as best as we can. Then we'll have a good relationship. Number 12. Attempt great things for God. Even if you fail, make the attempt. Live for others. Live for future generations. Because living for yourself only is, everyone say this out together, way too small. It's way too boring, way too small. There's nothing exciting about being a Christian. If you live like this, everybody else lives like that for themselves. That's boring. Amen. But if you live for others, future generations, now that is exciting. Your dream for God, doing things for God, must be so big, it must not be fulfilled in your lifetime. You must start it, become a part of it, but if it gets fulfilled in your lifetime, it's way too small. Way too small. Attempt great things for God. Things that you know you cannot fulfill in your lifetime, but you can be a part of it. Even if you fail, make the attempt. That's what I'm doing. Everyone said, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do people, you can't do a church plan, it fails every time. Young people don't come to church, you will have no people, you cannot manage financially the place, you know. You'll be homeless and all that stuff, mainly. But we did everything that the pastors, my good Korean pastors, warned me not to do. We did everything one of those things because the heart of God impelled us to do so. And I have never skipped a meal. I've always eaten well. Yeah. It's wonderful. Live for others. Live for future generations. Because living for yourself only is way too small. So don't be afraid to fail. Instead, be afraid of losing opportunities to do something good and useful for God and His kingdom while we are still living on earth. Number 13, this is the last one. We'll go in time of prayer. Think often about what your life will be like in new heaven and new earth. Even if you are 10 years old, 15, 20, 30 years old, in your prime, think often about what your life will be like in new heaven and new earth. Keep this hope before you always, because it'll ease your burden and pain of earthly troubles and losses and give you strength and hope. That's how I live. Remember that when we go to heaven, all our troubles, pains, and heartaches will be gone, and we will be rewarded for our faithful life on earth. And we will gain everything we've lost and sacrificed on earth for His name's sake and far more. So never give up on your faith. And get up quickly when you fall. Stand in your faith always. Live by God's word always. His word never fails. Hope in a better future on earth and pray and work towards it. Live for more than yourself. Live for others. Live for future generations. Live for God and his kingdom work. And live with the hope of entering the promised land, the new heaven and new earth. Through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have already received the victory of salvation and new life in God. So no matter what it costs us and how the world changes, let's keep our victory until the end and enter into our promised land, the new heaven and new earth, and take as many people with us as possible. Amen. How would you want to do this?